Well, today we have the privilege of having missionaries Garo and Jordanian Nargiz with us. They are missionaries in Brazil, and they've been working there, and we've been supporting them for years. And Garo has been here before, and I want to let you know that tonight we're having our second Sunday at 6 prayer meeting, and he's going to be with us. He leads worship, and so he's going to be participating in leading worship tonight, as well as giving us that devotion we have during that service about how we can pray for missionaries. So it's a special kind of missions edition of our second Sunday at 6 prayer meeting. Encourage you to come out and enjoy the worship and also learn better how to pray for our missionaries around the world. But it is our pleasure to have them with us today. I'm going to ask them to come, and would you join me in welcoming the Nargizes?
Thanks. Thank you so much. And thank you to Pastor Stephen and Andrea and all of you for having us back. It's so great to be back here. We have been in Brazil for 13 years now, and we thought we could just give you a couple of quick highlights of all the things that the Lord's been doing in Brazil. So we're going to go through a couple of pictures here to show you some of the different types of ministry that we've been involved with in Brazil. The first picture here is a tribe that we went to. The Lord opened a door for us to go into a tribe, which are closed off because of government regulations. Young people were depressed and suicidal, and the Lord opened a door through the government for us to do a food drive. So we brought 2 tons of food. We loaded them up on those canoes and drove and took them across the river. And even though we're not supposed to preach the gospel, guess what? We preached the gospel. We got to preach the gospel. We got to do a VBS because the representative between the Brazilian government and the tribe was a Baptist man. And he just walked away and let us do our thing. So we brought a church, right, guys? We brought a church. We did a VBS. Many kids prayed to put their faith in Jesus. And then we held an adult service. And we had a group of probably 15 or 20 young adults that committed to share the gospel in their tribe. So praise God for UPGs. We've also been, several years ago, we had an opportunity to launch university ministry in Brazil as the first Assembly of God World Missionaries to do that. And we were able to plant a small group ministry on 5 brand new university campuses. This is a picture of Unicamp, which is one of our largest, most prestigious campuses in Brazil. And that's just us doing evangelism right there on campus. And God raised up student leaders, and our goal was to help launch them out and encourage them as they pastored and evangelized their students. So Chi Alpha has been so awesome. And then I want to talk just for a second here about mentorship. One of the things that the Lord put on our heart and gave us a great passion for was mentoring young pastors and leaders. So if we look at the next picture here, there's 2 different pastors, and the pastors on the left, we helped plant a church with them 5 years ago, and we are their mentors. In 5 years, that church has grown to 500 members, and not only the growth of the numerical growth, but most of these people coming into the church are new believers. They're first-generation Christians. So we're so honored to be able to walk along with these great pastors in Brazil. It's such an honor and privilege.
Good morning. I am super excited to be here. This is my first time with you guys, but you have helped and support our family for many, many years, and we're very grateful for that. So you probably already noticed that I have an accent. So I'm originally from China, and I'm originally from Brazil. We lived in Brazil. I met Garo when he was a missionary there, and we dated for a few years. I moved to the States, got married, had kids, and then we felt the Lord was calling us to go back to Brazil and make a deposit in Brazil's next generation, because if we don't keep on reaching to the next generation, another generation will rise that may or may not know the Lord and the works of his hands. And it's up to us to do that. So we have, amongst all, as you can tell, we're super busy. And I homeschool my kids. Please pray for me. It's not an easy task. But we are super excited about all that God's doing. And in 2000 and 2010, the Lord has given us a calling. Actually, I finished a time of fasting in prayer and just asking God, God, is there anything else you want us to do? Just because we want to make sure that we're doing everything you want us to. And I felt the Lord was calling me for this extensive time of prayer and fasting. So I did. At the end of that time, I was praying, and the Lord gave me a vision. And in this vision, I saw what I can only describe as a bird cage. And as you can imagine, I was pretty like confused. And inside of this bird cage was a bunch of girls. And there are high schoolers and young adult girls, and they're all beautiful. They all have their makeup and they have beautiful clothes and they're all chatting and having fun inside of this birdcage. And I kept looking and saying, but why are they in there? And I felt one of the girls in the vision looked at me and she reaches out of that birdcage and she says, help me. And then all of a sudden, all the other girls start looking at me and they start saying, help me. And I thought, what does that mean? So fast forward a couple days later, I kept feeling the Lord was calling me to reach out for young women. And I felt like my answer to the Lord, and I would love to say to you that I was super spiritual and say, yes, Lord, do whatever you want me to do. But I looked at the Lord and I said, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't have time and I don't want to work with women because women are pretty dramatic. Sorry. I went to law school. I worked in politics and it's pretty male dominant atmosphere. And I thought, I don't want to do that. And I don't have time, God. I really don't have time. And I heard the Holy Spirit saying to me, but they are running out of time. And that was very strong to me. So fast forward, we started a small group of five girls in our house. God really started moving, and people started getting saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, walking the gifts of the Spirit. Now we are in north and south, east and west of Brazil. We have groups all over the country. We are extending the Pink ministry in Brazil. It's called Pink Women with a Purpose. We have, this slide needs to be updated because now we reach more than 10 states. Now we reach more than 25,000 women monthly. We have a mentoring program and now we have an invitation to go to 10 different nations and reach out to the young women and women in general. How many of us girls, we know that God is moving. The Lord is just moving amongst women, and God wants to raise us up, and the Lord wants to move us and impact our communities, impact our families, and this is what we're doing with Pink. So you are part of that. Thank you so much for helping us and walking with us. We're going to share with you really quick a video, so then it gives a little bit of a vision of the people that you are going to meet in eternity, or if you come to Brazil with us.
What he's saying is, when I showed up, when Jesus showed up on the earth, he said, there's been a major problem. There's been this tension all throughout humanity, and people have been trying to figure out how to fix it.
Quando Jesus apareceu na Terra, existia esse problema grande sobre o pecado, e as pessoas estavam tentando descobrir como que elas solucionariam esse pecado. Jesus sabia, eu sou a resposta.
Beautiful.
Amen. Amen. Once you say that with me in the video, it said, it's our turn now. Can you say that with me? Let's say it one more time like we believe it. It's our turn now. Yes, yes. Well, the Lord gave me just a very simple and direct message this morning. And here it is. Mission possible. Mission possible. Now, if you grew up in my generation, you've heard of a guy named MacGyver. How many of you used to watch MacGyver? MacGyver could pick a lock with a match. He could stop a bomb with a belt buckle. He could basically stop any situation with whatever he had in front of him, right? And then Tom Cruise is like the next level of MacGyver. He jumps out of buildings. He faces sandstorms. He defuses bombs. He crashes helicopters and survives, and he defeats the villain in the end. Well, what about the church? God has empowered the church to do impossible things. You know, our world right now, we've been going through this violent spiritual battle for people's souls, for families, for our generation, for our children, in our schools, our identity issues, financial issues, cultural issues, and many churches, even here in the States, have faced persecution over the last couple of years, American-style persecution, because we believe in Jesus Christ and because we're reaching out to our communities. A lot of stress, a lot of restrictions. Even many of our colleagues haven't been back to the field yet, even though they are fully funded and ready to go because the countries have been locked up, like Brazil. Brazil was locked down for a year and a half. And just last month, Jordi and I went to Brazil, and we had our first gathering after 1.5 years with our 85 national leaders in Brazil, and the Lord showed up in wonderful ways. And during our retreat, we had 6 people immediately healed from back and neck pain. We had many, many marriages that are our people, where a spouse is a non-believer coming, and marriage is being restored. We had a family who was on the brink of divorce. And in that time at our retreat, a prophetic word went forth and all the men gathered around the husband and God did a work of restoration. God is on the move. And the mission is still on. The mission is still on. In the beginning of the year, I was praying and the Lord gave me a prophetic word. And we're talking about nations right now. We're talking about the globe. But today I also want to bring it home right here to Bethany because the United States needs another revival. Amen. We need something. We need God to do something here as well. And some different movements of pockets have risen up around our country of prayer and worship and evangelism. And I think it's such a beautiful thing. And standing in the face of the Antichrist spirit telling the church that we have to shut up and sit down. And I believe the Lord has called us to stand up and lift our voice. And this is what the prophetic word and picture that the Lord shared with me. This is only the beginning. The ripple will turn into a wave, and the wave will turn into a tsunami, washing over our nation, renewing our faith, reviving our passion, and restoring our purpose. Freedom is the anthem. Freedom from fear. Freedom from despair. Freedom for tomorrow's church to walk boldly in her purpose. The mission, that ancient mission, is still working in 2021. It's an ancient mission, but the Spirit of the Lord carries that mission and shares it with every generation. This is an ancient mission, but real people in our world, broken people, sick people, people that need hope, we are the connector. We are the bridge that brings Christ into our world. So let's look at this in Matthew 28:19. This is our charge. This has been the charge, and this is the charge of Jesus. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always. Say that with me, always, to the end of the age. Philip Ryken says that it's a clear, unambiguous statement of our mission to the world. We understand it. We see it, and it connects to people around us. So what is it that keeps us from crossing into their world? Is it our fear to talk with people? Is it our selfishness not to just focus on our own well-being and our own good? Or is it just a lack of resources? We don't know how to do it. Let me tell you something. God is with us, and he has enabled us. He has given us the power and the authority and the love to reach those around us. As we step out, God pours out his love in our world. We are the ones who Jesus sends into our world every single day, in every kind of space, in that very circle of people around us. That unique circle is your circle to shine the light of Christ. Amen. That unique circle. And I love, you know, even in the prayer this morning, we heard about the send of God. And this word send in the New Testament, it shows up 136 times. 136 times for being sent. And pay attention to this. It's a verb. And a verb is an action word. Jesus was sent into our world. Jesus sent the disciples. And Jesus sends the church. It's not a philosophy. It's not just a good feeling or a good thought. But it's a directive from Christ that sends Bethany into the whole world. It's a directive for Christ to proclaim the good news to the poor, freedom to the captive, and to declare in a world that is suffering the year of the favor of the Lord. The year of the favor of the Lord. And what happens when our Savior shows up is that he brings restoration with him. He brings forgiveness with him. He brings healing with him. This is the favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to think about, and the reason we showed pictures, the reason we showed our video, and you guys, I mean, it's amazing that you support over 200 missionaries. It's amazing. Thank you. On the other side of these 200 missionaries are thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Sometimes we don't see those people. All we hear about is the mission. All we hear about is our part over here to pray and to send, which is a part of the mission. But I want you to see the other side of the mission. That there's a person on the other side of your intercession here at church when you come together and pray for missions. There's a family. There's a child that because you pray and because you give, you send people like us, and there's an anointing that goes along with us, the prayer of the saints. And as we encounter different people, God transforms their life. I want to share a testimony of this really beautiful family. This young lady in the middle, her name is Nachi. Nachi is a part of one of the local churches where we help in their leadership, and also Nachi came in to lead worship for one of the Pink events that we had a couple of years ago. And while we were at this, it was called, is it Pink Love or the Pink Love? Pink Love is an annual outreach that we have about 60% of the guests who come who are unchurched. They're spiritists, they're atheists, they're unchurched people. Many, many get saved. But for Nachi, she was leading worship, and during this event, God showed me a vision of her and of a little girl dancing and just joy, just spinning around and dancing. And I absolutely had no idea what that meant, but I shared that with her, and she began to cry, and the Lord was really ministering to her. Well, what we didn't know was what they couldn't have a baby. They couldn't get pregnant. They were infertile. And the next time we went back to Brazil, she was pregnant. And this was a picture from last month when we went to a service, and every single time she comes up to us and they say, "Thank you so much. We can never thank you enough for being obedient to the Lord." This is a real family, and look at their daughter. So you say, "Well, I give and I pray." Well, those people would not have been ministered to if you didn't help us to go. This is so cool and so amazing that we work together in collaboration to fulfill the great commission of the Lord. When it looks like the mission is impossible, remember that God is bigger than every storm or battle that we face in our world today. I believe that God's supernatural activity is manifest in common and ordinary people who are engaged in God's dream to love the world. And I really like what Willis and Co. said. They said that the focus is on ordinary people who are empowered by an extraordinary presence. An extraordinary presence. Hallelujah. Proclaiming the gospel wherever they go. How many of you have felt before like, I just feel like, I don't feel like I could do this. I don't feel anointed for this. I don't feel like a preacher. I don't feel like, have you ever felt like that? Let me just see your hands, because I'm right here with you. Okay. How do I start a conversation? If I see someone who's hurting, how do I take that step in to their world? One of the things we can do is we can just offer to encourage someone. We can start by encouraging them and asking them how they're doing. And many times we can just offer to pray for people. By the way, people will open up and tell you what they're going through. Complete strangers. Because our world is, in our world today, people are not showing love and people don't care about what other people are going through. And as you just ask people what they're going through, it's an opportunity that you can pray for them. That you can pray. And when you do, the Holy Spirit's going to come and they're going to say, what is that? Ordinary people, extraordinary things, because God is with us. And so in order to just demystify this command of God to go, it really just means to walk, to take a journey, to cross over. So as you're going, whatever you're doing, the people that are around you, you're going and you're walking, and God wants you to minister to those people as well as to the people around the world. I love what happened in Acts 8:26, the story of Philip. The Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, go. The Spirit said, go. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where the Lord was sending him, but the Lord said, go down this road. And as he was going down that road, he met someone. And that person came to put their faith in Christ. And because of Philip's obedience to go to minister to one person, the church of Ethiopia was birthed. Because of one conversation, just one. 2021, the Spirit of the Lord is telling Bethany Church, say it with me, go. Come on, say it again. Go. In order to go, we have to move. In order to go, we have to put action with our belief. It's not enough to feel compassion, because when we're moved by compassion like Jesus, we step into action. When someone comes here into your church and talks about an orphanage in Africa, it's not enough just to feel compassion. We have to be moved to pray. We have to be moved to give and to sponsor. We have to be moved to encourage those people who are serving in that field. Our compassionate move has to come out into action and movement, because people are on the other side. I want to encourage you this morning. It is so easy to walk around with filters. I'm going to take my glasses off for a minute. When I turned 39, I needed glasses. I didn't know I needed glasses, but I was reading and getting headaches. And we were actually on a medical mission trip in the Amazon, and there was an ophthalmologist there. And he did an eye test and said, yeah, you're going to need glasses. So now I use glasses. Everything's blurry, but when I put them on, I can see your beautiful faces. That was a compliment. Okay. Right. But sometimes we see the world through filters of our own experiences, how we feel about people, how we judge in our own mind. Sometimes we have a filter inside of us that we don't even realize we have. And some people, we just walk right past them and we don't see them at the same level of value that Christ sees them. But I want to encourage you this morning to take off your lens and put on the lens of Christ. It's every person, everywhere. As much as I want to talk more about Brazil, I feel like the Lord called us here this morning to encourage you and to reach out to your community. To reach out to your community. This morning before prayer, I was sharing with Pastor Stephen that I was praying for your church. And I was just praying and interceding for you. And I feel like the Lord gave me a very specific prophetic word for you. And so I want to share that right now. I felt the Lord say to you, Bethany, I'm going to redig a seed from your historic roots. And this seed is a seed of revival. It's not about culture. It's not about style. It's about the Holy Spirit and his role and assignment for this church. Amen? There's a seed here, a spiritual seed that the Lord brought to my spirit, and that is he wants to do it again, but in a new way, in a new generation, with a new group of people. And I believe the Lord has anointed you, pastors, anointed you, Bethany, to be a part of a revival. So we need to cry out. We need to cry out in prayer. We need to cry out and we need to ask the Lord and tell the Lord that we are willing to be a part of a move of his spirit right here and around the world. We need to stir ourselves up so that we're not stagnant, so that we're not just sitting there watching other people in the action, but God has said, I've called you to be part of my action plan. For that to happen, I would just encourage us right now to decide if we want to say yes to the Lord. Amen. Think about it and decide if you want to give your yes to the Lord again. Many of us have given our yes many years ago, but I want to challenge you and invite you to decide if you will give the Lord your yes again right now. How many of you want to give the Lord your yes? Let's just pause for a moment. Let's just lift our hands where we are and just begin to tell him, Lord, I'm here. Here I am, Lord. I give you my yes. I give you my yes today. I don't want to be held back because of a fear of failure. I don't want to be held back because of inadequacy. I don't want to be held back, Lord, because I'm busy. I want to give you my yes. We want to give you our yes. I recently heard a message that really inspired me. And in the message, they were talking about fishing with the fishing rod, how we do it, right? We cast out one lure that catches one kind of fish. And if we're lucky, we get that big bass and we reel it in. And if we get a sunfish, we toss it back in the water, don't we? We get that fish we're not looking for. But Jesus, this is what I love, he doesn't fish like us. Jesus throws out a net, and everyone in that net comes in to his arms. He doesn't look through the net and say, that one's good, that one's got to go back in. Jesus is not like us. We want to clean the fish. We want everything to be perfect before we invite someone into our circle. Jesus is saying, do the exact opposite. Invite people into your circle that are different than you. Maybe you're even afraid. You don't relate to them. Invite them into your circle. Invite them to church. Invite them to your home group. Invite them to have a meal with you. Invite them to get their kids to get to know your kids. Because that's how we share the gospel in everyday life. Well, Brazil is finally opening up. And I'm really happy to report this morning that what the Lord is doing all around Latin America and the Caribbean, that we have 489 missionaries and associates in Latin America and Caribbean alone. We have a good team. But there are 654 million people in Latin America and the Caribbean. 82.4% or 539 million people are considered spiritually lost. Now, we don't often think about it that way because much of Latin America has that is connected with Catholicism, Spiritism, other different religions are categorized in the category of Christianity. But we have 5 out of every 6 people in Latin America who don't have a personal relationship with Christ. So we have an awesome opportunity, an awesome chance to continue to reach people in Latin America. What's our mission? Real people in a real world. Why don't we stand together this morning? And can the worship team or the keyboards come? I just want us to take a moment and wait in the presence of the Lord this morning and listen for his voice. Listen for his voice. Let the Lord speak to you this morning. Listen for his voice. What is God calling you to do in 2022? He's calling you to step up to the plate. He's calling you to step out. He's calling you to serve others. He's calling you to love the broken. This morning, I want to declare and break the spirit of fear and intimidation over the church of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that even in the New Testament, as Peter boldly declared, and 5,000 were added to the church, that a spirit of boldness would rest upon your church today. A spirit of power, a spirit of boldness to reach our world for Jesus Christ. Lord, you put a message in our mouth. Put a message of hope on our lips today. Come on, let's just begin to respond. Say, here, my Lord. Here, my Lord. Here am I. Send me. And let's sing that together. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Here am I, send me. To the broken, to the downtrodden ones, to the rejected, those who are alone. Here am I. Send me. Here am I.
than me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I.
Right here in this moment, right here in this atmosphere, I want to pray for healing today. If you have a physical need for healing, please lift your hand. Let me just see your hand this morning. If you'd like, you can step out of your seat and join us at the altar, or you can stay where you are, but just take a step toward the Lord this morning. We're going to pray for you. Come on. We're going to pray for you this morning. We're going to pray and believe that the Lord will do a miracle in your life today. And the prayer team, if they could come and join us, please, and elders, pastors, let's begin to pray for these. Come on, church, extend your hand. This is our moment to intercede right here. This is our moment to take action right here. Thank you.
Here am I, send me. Here am I,
okay. I want to take a moment now to pray for families. Can we do that? Is that okay, Pastor? So, praying for kids, praying for grandkids, praying for issues in our families. You know, that's one of the hardest things for us to see. The enemy comes to destroy the family because the family is the picture of what God created. So if you're in a family together, join hands with your family. Maybe you could sit down together or find a space. And I want you to start praying with faith that the Lord is going to meet your family's need. How many of us would say, I need that, or a family member needs a move of God in their life? Okay, so let's pray. Come on. You guys have this. You have the authority. Lord, we thank you that you restore hearts that are broken. Lord, you resurrect hope in families. You resurrect hope in marriages. And I cancel the spirit of divorce right now in the name of Jesus. I cancel the spirit of depression right now in Jesus' name, and the spirit of anxiety that is in trying to infiltrate our families and take us out. Lord, we pray for our children today. I pray for my children today and for grandchildren today. Lord, that you would move in their generation. Come on, we need to pray for this next generation. God, that these little children today would be transformed and know Jesus. God, bring your miracles. Bring your kingdom in the middle of our living rooms. Bring your kingdom in the middle of our bedrooms. Yeah. Bring your kingdom in the middle of our dining room tables, God.
Yes.
As we sit together, come sit with us. As we talk together, come visit with us. Yeah. Yeah.
God, we just pray that you will just lift us up, Lord, to be the ones that are adopting our neighbors. They're adopting their kids. Father, we open our families today to extend, oh God, other families to join in. We carry the light. And I feel like that some of you are feeling like defeated, feeling like I don't have anything to give, but you do have something to give. And as you step out, and as you step out and you start loving other families, the Lord is going to just continue to pour into your family. So do not allow the enemy to lie to you and to say that you can't do this. The Lord is saying to you, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Open up, just put your foot, take the first step and just say yes, and God is going to do amazing things in your living rooms. The Lord is going to do amazing things in your house, as you meet in your gardens. The Lord is going to do amazing things in families. So Father, we call from the north, the south, the east, of the west of this region, the families that right now are having arguments, husbands and wives inside of their homes. We invade the spiritual atmosphere, God, and we say, oh God, that we want to shine the light of your presence, of hope into these homes, Lord, into these marriages. The fathers being converted to their hearts, to their children, and children to their fathers and mothers in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of division in the name of Jesus, and we say, not under our watch. We will not allow division to happen in our region. We take position today. We take position right now. And we say, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It is a today. It is a now, God. It is in heaven. And we say, let it be and on our streets. Let it be on our neighborhoods. Let it be on our families. Let it be in the families that are around us. Father, in the name of Jesus, let your kingdom come.
come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. And your will, Lord, is restoration. Your will is salvation. Your will is healing. Your will is hope. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, O Father, on earth as it is in heaven. Today, today, O Father, today in the name of Jesus.
How many can sense the Lord moving among us today? Amen. Thank you so much for receiving us today. This is a special church. This is a church of holiness, a church that prays, and a church that believes in miracles. I feel that every time I come, there's a reverence for prayer, and there's a reverence for the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up. The kingdom, sometimes the battle is brutal, that we have to rise up and be mighty warriors for Christ. And we do that through prayer. God bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you, Garo. Thank you, Garo and Jordania. We appreciate you and your ministry today so much. And thank you for being partners with us in what God is doing around the world. And we're so glad we can partner with you in that, in prayer and in giving. You can be seated for just a moment. We're going to let you go in just a minute. But I do want to encourage you. I feel like that was an appropriate transition from the Holy Spirit, because I had felt to encourage you regarding Faith Promise and your family today. And so hopefully on your way in, you received a Faith Promise card like this. And we're not going to fill those out today. You certainly can if you'd like to and put it in the box, but we're not going to ask you to do it corporately today. We're going to do that at our missions banquet and then next Sunday morning. But I did want to get these into your hands, and I want you to do something very specific this week with them. If you have a family at home, whether it's just you as a couple, or if you, especially if you have kids, I want to speak to you in your family. Because I think that it's so important that as parents, we don't have our faith promise that we put in, and then we just kind of go about our business and our kids know nothing about it. In fact, I've got my kids the last several years, and we've sat down and we said, this is what we're going to give. And that means as a family, there are things we won't do. There are places we won't go. There are purchases we won't make as a family, because we're going to give to missions, because Jesus tells us that there are souls that will be saved and a treasure in heaven if we do that. And so I just want you to know, because you're a part of this, you're sacrificing along with us, that here's the sacrifice as a family that we're going to make so that people can hear the gospel. I want to encourage you that as parents, especially, you pray, you seek the Lord for what He wants you to give, and you ask your kids to be a part of that. That you ask them to seek the Lord with you, and then when you come to a decision with the Holy Spirit, you write it out and you talk to your family about it, and you say, here's what we are together doing so that people around the world can hear the good news, because your kids need to understand the importance of investment in the kingdom. They will not get it outside your home or outside this church. They're going to get investment in other things, in other places. They're going to be told what on their TikTok accounts and their Instagram feeds, that they can buy these things and spend their money here and there and everywhere. But they will not be told that they should lay up treasure in heaven unless you tell them. And the most powerful way you can tell them is not just by reading that verse, but by demonstrating to them as a family, here's what we're doing, and we're setting the tone. And so I want to encourage you, especially if you have young children in your home, teens in your home, make it a point that you talk with them about what you're going to do. If you've never given a faith promise before, here's why we give faith promise. And Garo hit it earlier. He talked about pooling our resources. He talked about what we can do together more than doing on our own. That's why we do faith promise. We do it so that we can plan, so that we can pool, and so that we can by faith see greater things done than we could if it was just us as individuals. We do it because God has called us to work together in partnership for the gospel. And so a faith promise, it is a promise you make by faith, where you say, God, with your help, by faith, over every month this year, I'm going to give this much money to specifically missions. And that money doesn't go to this church. We send those dollars out, and they are used in ministry, in outreach around the world and here in the Pioneer Valley, but they don't stay here in-house. And so I want to thank you for your participation in that, and encourage you that you make your families a part of that, so that you can pass that on to that next generation, which is so incredibly important. Take that, pray about it. please be sure to come back for Second Sunday at 6 tonight. We are a church that believes in prayer. We have a vision to renew that hunger for God in our midst to a greater degree. And revival that Garo talked about this morning begins as we seek God and we hunger for Him. Please come back tonight because we're going to hunger for God together. Would you stand with me? We're going to go. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You so much for the word that we've heard this morning, for the healing prayers, for the things that You've done that we have not yet seen yet. And we pray that You would continue that work. We ask, Lord, that that seed of revival that Garo talked about this morning would take root, that it would bear fruit in our midst. Father, we desire it. We've said yes to You today. We say yes again. Lord, we want what You want. We want to do what You have called us to do. Would You let there be a great thing done in this church around the Pioneer Valley? And we pray not only for ourselves. God, we pray for Your church in this region, that You would raise her up, that You would empower her to be able to share the good news of Jesus all over this region. And we pray for that revival. Let it begin. Let that hunger start in us. We love You. We thank You for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray and we believe today. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us for this opening service of Missions Convention. We'll see you tonight at 6. Until then, go in God's grace and in His peace.